runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 102 with guest Randy Williams, recorded Thursday, March 12, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Yes, you're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard, how are you today?
No worries, man. Busy, 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 busy.
Yeah, plenty busy.
And rolling along with the shows again, trying to figure out Speaker Idol for TechEd US.
Yeah, so what's the story this year?
Well, we've moved back down to 1 week, so that's good for me because I had to do both weeks last year.
Right, and it's in LA, is that right?
Yes, Los Angeles, smaller venue. It's going to be packed. I hear that they're going to cram it full, even though I know with the economic downturn, some of the conferences are really struggling. I think TechEd, their timing's been impeccable. By going back to 1 week and a smaller venue, I think they're still going to sell out.
Yeah, and you know, it's always a good show, and TechEd's gone through so many changes over the years, and in a way, this is kind of, I guess you could say, is sort of kind of going back to some of its original roots from an organization and sort of size perspective.
I agree.
Which could be kind of cool. I mean, one of the things about TechEd that has always been great is, you know, you have, especially in the 2 week and the big ones, is you have a lot of great choices and just a huge venue. And there's probably something to be said for, you know, making it a little more intimate and really focused.
Yeah, intimate with 6,000 of your closest friends.
Yeah, which is different than 11,000 of your closest friends, right?
I think that's true, absolutely.
Yeah, so it should be interesting.
It'll absolutely be fun. Let's get right to our guest here. Randy Williams is a SharePoint MVP working as a senior consultant and trainer for Synergy Corporate Technologies. He currently specializes in architecting and developing solutions on SharePoint. He also teaches a 5-day developing SharePoint class around the globe. He's lived in Hawaii since 1994 and has nearly 20 years of IT experience covering an eclectic range of technology, including picking up certifications along the way, such as the MCSE, the MCSD, the MCDBA, and the MCTS for WSS and MOS development. He runs the SharePoint Users Group in Hawaii and the Hawaii.net Users Group, and he maintains an active blog focused primarily on SharePoint development subjects. You can find those posts at SharePointHawaii.com/Randy Williams.
Where does he live again?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. That's, yeah. You know, what a rough place to be a consultant or to do work, huh?
So, Randy, you do suffer so trapped out there in that terrible place?
Yes, I am out in this horrible place. And as a matter of fact, we had some humor the other day. If you guys had caught the Saturday Night Live skit with The Rock, poking some humor at our culture out here. Happy to be out here. Happy to be on the show. It's an early morning, but a beautiful, hopefully sunny, warm morning here in the windward side of Oahu. But happy to be on the show. And unfortunately, I don't actually get to do a lot of work in my backyard, so to speak, but it is a wonderful place to live. And after doing a little bit of travel, whether it's on the mainland or perhaps in Asia, it's also a wonderful place to come back to at the end.
Yeah, I guess you're sort of in the middle between going back into the U.S. or going over to places like Japan or Singapore, Hong Kong.
Yeah, we're almost halfway. Going towards the Asia direction, it's a little bit farther. But actually, it might seem crazy, but I actually prefer almost going that way. It seems as though the service that you get on the airplanes and certainly the cost of living as you go that direction tends to be cheaper, with the exception of Japan, of course. But I just love to travel, which I'm very fortunate to be able to do.
I'm with you, man. I live in Vancouver, but I almost never work in Vancouver.
And he's almost never in Vancouver. Just like to point that out. I'm taking your wife's side on this one here. So.
Nice. Thanks for that, bub. My friend. it looks like you have a little bit of focus on SharePoint here, Randy. How'd you end up in SharePoint?
Well, interesting question. Well, I've been a crossover between the IT pro side and the dev side for a number of years now, and I will try to give you the short version. Around 97, 98, I had been doing a bunch of MCSE-like things, doing tons of Windows implementations, training on that side. And then the web, of course, started getting big. ASP technology was getting big. Jumped into that for a few years. ASP.NET, of course, came out in 01. You guys were talking about TechEd earlier. That's actually where I got one of my first deep dives in ASP.NET technology. Fell in love with it. Had been doing SQL for a bunch of years, SQL Server that is, and then about 4 or 5 years ago, had a chance in a previous job to work with SharePoint 2003, and had dabbled a little bit with 01, and just really liked the business side of it, and addressing some of the collaboration challenges that I know many organizations face. Frankly, I didn't think that particular incarnation of the product was all that great, although we did do a few installs of it, did a number of web parts at that time. And then when 07 came out, or V3 as we sometimes say, just a radical improvement in the architecture, development of it got so much easier, the day-to-day management got much easier, and overall it's just a thrill and a joy to work with. I love the product, I love what I'm doing with it, I love the value that it can bring organizations, and I hope that'll continue as we move into the next release sometime next year.
Well, it's a pretty common thing, I think, for Microsoft to have whatever the naming nomenclature is, but V3 of a product be the first substantial platform mature release that they do. So I worked with SharePoint 2001 in beta before it was released, actually built an extranet site on that, believe it or not, and then worked with 2003. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So I'll concur with you wholeheartedly that you know, Moss, the 2007, the current release really is leaps and bounds beyond even just the version just previous to it. It's really a platform. It's a terrific platform for building collaborative and even just informational business applications, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that we talk about is the tools continuum, which allows you to basically take, depending on what your skill set is, a solution need that may in fact be developed through the UI, so going in and creating lists or libraries as needed, or taking that more towards, say, a business analyst or a webmaster role with a tool like SharePoint Designer and being able to do some degree of customization, or at the far end of the right spectrum, you might say, is then leveraging out a full developer suite of tools with Visual Studio. And, of course, being able to leverage anything within the .NET framework or in the SharePoint object model. So, you know, from end to end, you really have a fantastic suite.
So is this really a developer's tool, or is it something that the IT pro needs to be concerned about? I'm still trying to figure out where it really lives for most companies implementing it.
Oh, that is a fantastic question, Richard. It really is a tool that I think can best be managed by both ends of the spectrum, by the IT pro side and the developer side, I mean. And having played both those roles at different points in my career, I can really get a sense of how the technology addresses both those needs. And in fact, if we want to add a third angle to that triangle, it's really that business tool as well. And I think that also brings up some issues that I know we in the IT industry face all the time, which is how can a development team build and sustain a solution and then, of course, hand it over to an IT pro team, which needs to also do their day-to-day management. SharePoint is one of those systems that transcends all those boundaries, and it really does bring up some new and interesting and sometimes old challenges that have never been addressed. So that's, in fact, one of the things that I try to do in both my projects and in my teaching engagements is to be able to bring all of these communities together to, in fact, collaborate in a much better way to provide better value to our organizations that we serve.
Well, I guess the question is, how does the product really come in the door? Is this an IT initiative or a dev initiative? Because I can see both. You know, certainly from a document management point of view, it seems like an IT product, but all that customization sort of lends itself to stuff that developers look at a requirements list and say, you know, we could quickest do this with SharePoint.
Well, I think to best answer your question, while I think there's both some interest that both the IT pro and the dev side will bring, but I really think it's a business decision. Although some of the early adopters tend to be from the IT side, what we're now seeing is a lot of the CEOs, CFOs, the executive level are starting to see really core challenges within their organization. And now as we've really start to get into the heart of this economic downturn, and organizations need to work better, they need to work faster, they need to share knowledge, they find that tools like SharePoint can in fact give them that, bring them high value at a pretty low entry point cost. And so I really think that there's an opportunity for SharePoint to enter an organization from all ends, dev side,
sure,
IT pro side, even from the business executive side.
Ultimately, I mean, I know it's just painful even to think about, and it's hard to get from here to there, especially in larger organizations, but shouldn't IT initiatives and dev initiatives and business initiatives really all just be business initiatives? I mean, bringing that all together, and I know this is sort of a kumbaya kind of wish that I have probably, I guess, but SharePoint's a good example of a platform that does facilitate the different parts of the organization coming into one place and being able to work together to solve business problems, as opposed to solving an IT problem, separately solving a dev problem, separately solving a business problem.
Absolutely. As a technologist, I think I'm as guilty as my peers in wanting to bring technology in for technology's sake. Let's face it, yeah, we do this because in part we think it's cool. We like to do that. But of course, we do have to remember this is all about dollars and cents. We have to make sure we're looking at the ROI and the bottom line. Fortunately, with SharePoint, I can sleep at night knowing that I'm not only doing cool stuff, but I'm also bringing great value. But that business side, absolutely, we have to make sure we keep focused on.
So what are some of the big business solutions that you've seen or you've participated in or that you've observed elsewhere? Do you have some examples of people leveraging SharePoint in a way that maybe stands out recently to really take advantage of the platform?
Putting me on the spot. Well, let's see. Where do we start? Well, first off, we do see a lot of it certainly transcending most vertical and horizontal markets. So I don't think there's really any specific market that I could say it speaks best to. We've been working a lot with the healthcare and insurance industries lately. And what we're finding in some of those verticals is that they, of course, have legacy technology and need to conform to various regulations, of course, HIPAA being one of them. And as they're trying to perhaps cut some of the costs, they might be using some other third-party solutions, providing records management, providing document management, but not providing the whole suite of tools that SharePoint brings. And I think that's one of the areas that I think Microsoft has really hit the nail on, is being able to satisfy a number of different areas that are a challenge for an organization, which includes search and document management and collaboration and enterprise content management. Now, I'm not saying SharePoint nails all those things in a perfect way, but it does enable each of those core challenges to be addressed in a singular product, in ways, say, that a Documentum may not address certain things, or say workflow solution may not address them. So in the healthcare space, I can't really give you too many details. We're finding that it's just bringing that knowledge that exists in so many different siloed solutions. And, for example, leveraging tools like the Business Data Catalog, which enable us to pull information from external line of business systems, which could be running on SQL Server or could be running on DB2 or any traditional relational database, or even through web services, being able to surface that information in a single place such that people don't have to go into three or four different systems to find the information they need to make their important decisions. So SharePoint is really that, you know, one-stop shop, if you will, where much of the data can either live in the system or at least provide you a jump point to where that lives to make our jobs faster and easier.
So is this really about a cost savings maneuver using SharePoint?
Well, I think, yes, it absolutely is a cost savings, but I think it's also a productivity opportunity as well. As you study the patterns that organizations have and some of the real challenges is that they really spend an incredible amount of time trying to find the information that they need to make decisions. And we find that from top to bottom in the org chart, from the information worker up through the mid-level managers to the executives. The problem is, and I'm again guilty of this as well, is building so many different stovepipe systems over these past 20 years, we find that, you know, not only overlapping information, but different information lives in so many different places that there's not really one place I can go to get that information. Now, I'm not saying SharePoint is going to be replacing all these systems, but in some cases, I think of it as the glue that can perhaps tie many of those systems together so that I have the ability to give information to the right person in a much faster and quicker way.
Right. How do I know what I know as an organization, right? It's that there's all that knowledge out there, but not access to that knowledge. So providing that can be a real valuable thing.
But aren't we just describing a portal here then, that this is the portal product?
Yeah, so we're definitely talking about the portal product. I mean, it is that gateway, if you will, to the organizational's assets, which includes the explicit knowledge that we know that lives in documents and the tacit knowledge that lives in people's brains, the know-how, if you will. But I think where SharePoint addresses that portal solution is not really just providing a bunch of links like, let's say, a typical intranet might be, but in fact a whole solution where the searching and the enterprise content management, the document management can all in fact live in one solution, in one place. And, you know, when you talk about the learning curve and being able to integrate with the set of tools that people already love and know, well, they know them. Whether they love them is probably arguable. I'm talking about Microsoft Office. People live and die by Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and tools like this. And, of course, that Office server is really just an extension of that client that we've used for so many years.
So what about the development story? Is this really a strength of SharePoint, that it's good for developers to work in? Or is it? I worry that the overhead of learning to function in SharePoint is greater than the cost of just building the app yourself in, say, ASP.NET.
Good question. I'm a developer, so I may introduce some bias in an answer like this, but I will try to stay as neutral as I can. I don't think SharePoint is necessarily the end-all, be-all solution, whether that's to address an IT pro need or a business need or even a dev need. What I think consultants and technologists like I can do is go in and recognize what an organization's needs are, figure out what SharePoint does well, because there are parts of it that all be fully honest, are very difficult to work with. But when you find those areas where there's a particular need, like there's a solution that you have to build that's going to be based on document management, you have the choice of either purchasing a third-party document management engine or building a document management solution yourself, which I see people reinvent that wheel over and over and over again, or you can build something on top of the SharePoint engine itself. And I think that is actually the change that we're seeing that SharePoint brings to the future development. For example, if I can take you guys back about 10 or 15 years, most of the solutions we built at that point were client-server. They were built right on top of the operating system. We had a client, a smart client, and a smart server, and we provided some pretty good technology. As that moved forward, you know, up until, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, we then started building solutions on top of some type of middle layer. And if we use the .NET framework or Java as an example, we insulated ourselves one more layer, or abstracted, if you will, one more layer from the operating system. I see SharePoint taking it one step further. That is, instead of building a solution, let's say that's an ASP.NET solution or, say, a Java Beam solution, we're now building, let's say, a SharePoint solution, which leverages not only the operating system infrastructure, the .NET infrastructure. It's now also this rich, powerful SharePoint object model to handle workflow and document management and security and, you know, searching, and being able to build a solution that leverages all that without having to rewrite that. I think that's where the value is. And if the solution need that you have can take advantage of those bits that are already in place, that already work, that are already tested, that people already know, I think there's some real dev opportunities there to build a faster and better solution.
You know, you've mentioned search a couple of times now, and I'm sure for a lot of organizations, the most frustrating thing in the world is, I know we've worked with this customer before, I just can't figure out when or where. Can you talk a bit about the challenges or how search works in SharePoint? Is it really across all the documents? Like, how good is it?
Well, I'll answer your last question there first. How good is it? I would say SharePoint search, or to be clear, the enterprise search engine in Moss is pretty good. I think there's some improvements that, of course, need to be made for it to become verb-like in the way Google is. Microsoft has made some investments in Fast Technology, as many of you have probably heard, that's going to incorporate that deeper into the product. But that being said, I think there's still a number of fundamental capabilities that the search engine can bring to the average organization. And when we talk about where content is, as I mentioned earlier, we realize that content isn't going to live in one system. it's not going to necessarily live in every single document or PDF or some type of, you know, file artifact that gets created. It's going to live in line of business systems. It's going to live in the heads of different people. And so where I think the SharePoint search engine really stands out is to be able to incorporate all these different sources of information and be able to integrate that within a single search solution such that when I'm searching, let's say, for a critical document or information on a particular customer, I can, in fact, consolidate all that knowledge, all those, you know, information assets into a single place such that I'm going to get every person and everything that our organization knows about this particular entity. Now, that said, that just doesn't happen magically. There's a little bit of architecture that goes into that and pointing to the sources. That's really the goal of the enterprise search is to be able to have people find that information even though they have no idea where it lives.
Now, you've mentioned a couple times, you know, having information in the heads of different people, and then you're alluding to being able to find that. Now, I assume that Moss doesn't include the brain implant to be able to wirelessly connect to what it is I'm thinking about, but what do you mean when you're talking about that? If I'm an individual working in a company or an organization, how do you capture that information? What does SharePoint do for you?
Good. Well, just to be clear, I want to point out what that actual distinction is. Within organizations, two forms of knowledge exist. We have explicit knowledge that is codified into typically a single document or perhaps a single record in a database. And then we have the tacit knowledge, which is the knowledge that's locked inside people's minds that's really not practical or even able to be put on paper. Think of, for example, how do you ride a bike? Well, if you ask me how I ride a bike, I would not be able to put that in paper. But when we get into SharePoint, that tacit knowledge, of course, is going to be locked in people's minds. And if we can then capture at least who knows what in the organization, when I'm executing, let's say, a people search, I can find those resources in the organization that I know have done things like this, and then by finding that person, I can then ping that person to then be able to get that first person narrative on what exactly they did and what were the challenges and how, in fact, did they learn how to ride a bike and can they teach me? So it's really about trying to find both artifacts, you know, those explicit documents and the people knowledge that our organization has.
Now, you mentioned earlier that SharePoint's not perfect, and I think my view of it in watching the way Microsoft has done this over these, you know, three major versions of the product is they don't intend for it to be perfect. They've really opened up the partner channel, if you will, so the third-party channel to be able to extend the system, and especially with, you know, with the current iteration of it. What's been your experience in that regard? Is it a lot of value that's being added by the channel, if you will?
Absolutely. There are rich and wonderful opportunities for the ISV channel out there to enhance what the product already does. First thing, before I give you a couple of examples, let me just point out that I think that capability and that ability to build on the product is, in fact, one of the major advantages that I think SharePoint brings, because it's not only this wonderful, you know, UI technology that people see, but it's also the underlying infrastructure technology that is really just the programmatic API that Microsoft exposes to us. And so having that rich set of technology that can be then enhanced through additional solutions is where companies like, say, Nintex can offer a fantastic web-based tool to be able to drag and drop using the browser a new workflow solution. Or how, let's say, organizations like Bamboo can write rich and powerful web parts that allow, let's say, common, very simple needs to, you know, what's the weather like, you know, on the Big Island, or, you know, what's the rainy weather in Vancouver going to be like today? You know, trivial things like that are very, very core things where there's a particular web part that's going to serve an exact need. So absolutely, the programmatic side and the programmability of the site from both third-party ISV solutions, but also in-house organizations that can provide a custom, you know, fit-like-a-glove opportunity to address really core things in a near-perfect way.
So I guess that brings us down to sort of the kind of core issues here. I see lots of folks struggling with scalability with SharePoint, performance issues. What's sort of the picture around this? How scalable is SharePoint really? And why are people having so much trouble with it?
Well, good question. Let me talk about the scalability aspect first. there are a lot of improvements that Microsoft has made and are continuing to make in the scalability area. First, just looking at the server side, there's a wonderful set of scalability in terms of multiple front-end web servers, multiple application servers that are serving up that are doing the content indexing and executing the search queries that come in. There are capabilities to be able to extend other application services like Excel services that can take some of the load perhaps off other line of business systems and bake it into the sort of the core farm, as we call it in SharePoint. So I think there's actually an opportunity to be able to leverage SharePoint in 99% of the organizations. I would certainly agree that perhaps a percentage of the Fortune 100 or maybe even multinational organizations would struggle in some of the ways, and I would say those struggles are not so much necessarily SharePoint related, but they're all just challenges that you face with other solutions. You've got multiple locations in probably different countries that you have to deal with. You've got replication issues. You've got disaster recovery issues. And so I think part of that challenge is that because SharePoint is now being relied upon to do so many more things that any one solution historically has not been able to solve, really. I mean, everything's kind of being baked in that. So it's almost as though the family jewels in one place, which might be good or might be bad. Because of that aspect of it, I think there's difficulty in carving out what is the right amount of hardware that's necessary, what is the right amount of you know, reliability and fault tolerance, and what service level agreements does the product need to support. And let's face it, a good part of this is just the lack of knowledge about how the product works and getting proper training for an IT team. And I think at times, SharePoint is also a victim of what I like to call the paradox of simplicity. This is a problem that I think Microsoft has somewhat helped promote over the past, you know, 10 to 15 years, where it's just so easy. I mean, there's a wizard that you just run through that does the installation. Anyone can install SharePoint. Well, that might be true, but to be able to configure and tune it in the exact way, it requires years of skill. And so I think that's something that organizations are still addressing and recognizing that is a cost that they do have to absorb at some point. Whether that's through a consulting partner channel or just, you know, internal resources that need to come up to speed on how it works. It's still a very new product and organizations are still struggling with that training aspect.
And I get the sense then, is the solution to scaling SharePoint, you can just throw more hardware at it?
Well, I would say that that is an option. I don't think that's going to necessarily address the core problem. If there are fundamental architectural difficulties or maybe just poor decisions that were made in what does what. And part of that just might be, as I mentioned earlier, SharePoint doesn't do everything well, so there might be a decision or two that needs to be made as to what, in fact, SharePoint's going to do. So if the problem is just performance and performance only, then perhaps throwing more hardware at it or increasing the bandwidth is going to solve the problem. There's also just a number of tweaks and tunes that we can do inside the product. For example, if the experience from the client side is just poor and it takes too long to download the JavaScript and the CSS content, there's a number of adjustments that can be made to improve that experience. So I think the best answer to that question, Richard, is to really understand what the problem is and then put the right team on that so that you can address it.
Sure.
And that being said, there's also, you know, in addition to a number of consultants out there that are out there, one of the things that I just have always been overly pleased with is the amount of community support that's out there from the MVPs and also some of the social resources that you can find on TechNet and MSDN. There are a ton of people out there that are pretty smart, that can provide you guidance, and there's no cost to you for that.
Do you get a sense of how SharePoint is best served? Is this really for internal usage, or can you really build external-facing websites? And what do you do differently between those two scenarios?
Oh boy. Well, I'm going to give you my opinion. It is not necessarily reflective of what Microsoft would say. My opinion is SharePoint is a great intranet solution.
Right.
It's a fantastic tool to be able to capture that knowledge within an organization. I do not believe it's as good of an external facing solution. Now, by that, I really am talking about an internet facing solution, not necessarily an extranet. And part of the problem is when we get into the true internet-facing area, there are just some core parts of the product that do need to be reworked, and there will be some improvements in Office 14. But some of those challenges today that we have are accessibility, performance, cross-browser, you know, some key things that I'm just going to believe that Microsoft didn't have time to address in this version.
Okay, I buy that, and I have seen some big externally facing sites built with SharePoint, but I do think that's the exception, not the rule, that most of them seem to be internal.
Yeah, that's true. And those that I've talked to that have been able to build a solution, and our site is built on SharePoint, synergyonline.com, there are just a number of challenges that go into building it in a way that's going to provide that degree of performance and accessibility that your customers are going to expect. It's not that you can't do it, it just may not be the best value for what the product can do best.
Right. Randy, we're just about out of time here. Any final words, places we should be looking for more information? Hi, Mom.
Well, yes, of course. Hi, Mom. She's not too far from you, Richard. She's actually in Coeur d'Alene, northern Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm actually just thrilled to be on the program, do whatever I can to help spread the knowledge as to the value that I think this product can bring, again, from both a dev and an IT pro and a business perspective. Looking very much forward to the next version. MVPs have got a sneak peek at some of the Office 14, the code name for the product, at the MVP Summit last week. I'm not able to share any of that for NDA reasons, but there's going to be some great improvements. It's going to be much more integrated to Office, and a lot of the challenges that we addressed today, and even some of the strengths, are going to be much improved. Looking forward to it.
Randy Williams, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.